And if the truth were out, I suspect that most of us see, most of us understand life as a kind of gigantic foot race. Billions and billions and billions of us plunging along, thundering along, charging forward in a great cloud of dust that rises up into the sky and glints in the yellowish sun. A fantastically exhausting race. And a race that seems to have no end at all, but just a race. Everyone is thundering along together. And once in a while, one poor unfortunate or two or three are thrown off onto the curbstone to lie gasping and, of course, completely outdistanced within the next 30 seconds. This is the concept of life that I suspect is the most valid concept for the New Yorker of today. A gigantic foot race. And have you ever had the feeling that if you ever stopped to look at the sky, just to look, you know, that they would catch up with you and pass you, go right on past, thundering on past? I have this friend who every time he goes on vacation has little earphones plugged into his ears. He's connected to his office by a set of radio phones. His boat is never out of touch with the world, ever. And constantly they're bringing messages to him, constantly, because he wants to stay in the race and at the same time look at the sky, which of course is a complete impossibility. Because the kind of sky that I am speaking of is the sky that has no messages being brought to you by runners. And this is the sky that we're all afraid of. I can't get out of touch. I have this friend who once in a while is called out of New York for a couple of weeks for military service or something. He's the only guy I know in military service that is in constant touch night and day with his agent. He's the only guy I know who gets permission from his first sergeant to call his agent during guard duty. And his answering service every 2 hours has been instructed to call the post-service club to let him know whether Zanuck has called. He is never out of touch. The foot race goes on in the great thundering herd, the crashing and the roaring. And yet, you know, there are two kinds of people, really. There are the people who once in a while take their mind away from looking at the sky and try half-heartedly to get into the race. Because, you see, there is something in the air that makes it indecent to spend your life looking at the sky. Not only indecent, but vaguely immoral. And so, once in a while, you look up at the sky, and you pull down, and you say, I really should get... And then you make a half-hearted attempt. You call your agent. Is there anything, Charlie? Say, oh, good to hear from you again. Where you been? Well, I'm around. You know... And, of course, the implication when he says, well, where you been? I say, oh, you poor sap. And you can hear the thundering roar of the hoofbeats going through his office as you're in touch once again with the great race. And you know you can never catch up, you know. Have you ever seen a dog race? That's one of the saddest of all races to see, you know, because the goal is out in front of them. When you see a horse race, there's a complete meaninglessness to a horse race. I mean, it's just blah, 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 and they run past. There's no meaning. And we like to believe that one horse has a rivalry inside of him to beat another. No. Come on now. That's that poor old idiotic thing that Walt Disney started years ago, that animals are really people in disguise and are somehow better. No, that's silly. Get it out of your mind, out of your skull. Peggy, cats are not people. No. They are carnivores, dear, and given the chance, they will carnivore on you, which is another story. They're just too small to get away with it. Now, incidentally, this is another thing. We have a concept of friends, you know. It's like all of us think the natives love us because they come up nuzzling up to the little house we've established in the jungle to hand them aspirins and rock and roll records. But given the alternative, they would come nuzzling up with something else. And if you don't believe this, take a look at the current Life magazine and see all the people being chased over the veldt in Africa. I mean, literally being chased. It's just a matter of choice, you see. The cat has no choice but to be this friendly little thing that curls in your... But given another, say, 200 pounds, the cat is another story indeed, my dear. Another story. But that's all beside the point, you see. The horses are just things, you know, they run. But you go to a dog race. You see, I learned a lot about this problem of the thundering herd one time when I was inadvertently admitted to a dog track outside of Miami at one point in my career when I was working for the government. I had risen to the rank of PFC rapidly by diligent study, and I was allowed a few hours off from the tether. And somehow or other, I wound up in a dog track, of all places, when you're in the Army to be. I mean, this is more of... I can't tell you how symbolic this was, how meaningful it became. It was could very well have been one of the turning points of my life. Have you ever wondered how in the world you got to be what you are? Where the turning points really were? How come you didn't wind up Harlow Curtis or something? I mean, he's obviously no more brighter than... Hey, speaking of that, did you read that fantastic thing on the front page of the New York Times, The Triumph of PR Over the Truth? Incidentally, you know what public relations is? You know, most people think public relations is advertising. It's completely different. It's the opposite, you see. Advertising takes that little itsy-bitsy thing that you think is better that you have than other people have, and they blow it up into a fantastic blimp. You see, this is advertising. Oh, no. PR is the opposite. I mean, when you got this rotten thing that's hanging on you like a barnacle, PR steps in and makes it good. You see, they do the opposite. This is quite true, you know. For example, when there's a strike in an enormous plant, you don't think the ad men step in, do you, and take out ads about... No, it's the PR men who say that there's just a little momentary riffle in our friendly, wonderful, happy family, but we're all really sitting around the same table pitching the same... Oh, yeah, that's right. It's all part of PR. And it was this beautiful story that kind of exemplifies the dream world of our day. There was the president. Did you see it on the front page of the Times? I almost fell sideways right off the curb on 57th Street when I got this one. It was the funniest piece of Americana that I've seen in a long time. It seems that they nabbed the president of one of the major automobile concerns with $450,000 in his jeans. And the PR man immediately stepped in and said, Mr. L.B. Watanabe has arrived at a settlement with the Watanabe Motor Company for $450,000, which apparently came about through a mistake in bookkeeping and a mistake in aims. We have reached a settlement. Mr. Watanabe has resigned. I could see the settlement. Can't you see them dragging this guy in from his plush office, kicking and screaming, two FBI men on each side, and one guy behind him with a sawed-off shotgun, and they drag him in, and the money is all taken out of his $450,000 by a misunderstanding of the bookkeeping methods. And they lay it out, and they say, all right, Charlie, now what? It's either the pokey or hand the dough over. He hands the dough over, and a settlement has been reached. A settlement. This is a settlement in our time. You see, it somehow sounds like good, solid, substantial citizens have gotten down and sat down and talked it over. You see, Hitler pointed it out, you know, a long time ago. I must say he did. Hitler said that the way that big people can get by with it is that little people almost always live lives of complete honesty and cannot comprehend people above them being anything other than they are, only in spades. He must be more honest than I am, whereas it's almost invariably quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. And that's how they got there, you see, being a realist. And by the way, realism is not to be confused with cynicism, my dear. So don't fall into that trap. I mean, this is an old canard that is constantly trotted out by these guys who say, oh, those gloom professional gloom dealers. No, it's not the same thing, you know. And so anyway, I'm in this track. I'd like to describe, most of you have probably never seen a dog race. Let me tell you how a dog race works. Whippets and greyhounds run. And they have this track, it's a little itsy-bitsy track in a way, you see. And there's all those lights and all these sweating people are sitting around. And they bring the dogs out, and they sort of trot them around back and forth on leashes, and these are just plain, ordinary, dumb dogs, and they're very dumb. Oh, yes, the greyhounds and the whippets are the dumbest creatures this side of an amoeba. And they walk back. I know it's terrible to admit that there's such a thing as a dumb dog, my dear, but there are many dumb dogs, just as there are dumb people. It's interesting to note that the porpoise is about 14,000 miles above the dog in the scale of intellectual values. And very well could be several points above man, incidentally. In fact, I was aboard this cruiser, and there was a whole school of porpoises going alongside of us, giving us the old bazoop every 5 minutes. They'd come out of the water and look at this thing and give us the business again. Man was right back after it.